Hello, welcome to another episode of Unfriendly Black Hottie. It's your girl, Ann Shirley, and thank you for tuning in to episode 2 of season 6. You guys are going to love this topic. We are going to talk about the anxious avoidant trap in this conversation and how to escape it, what that dynamic is like, and how to empower yourself, okay? This is a very important talk, so I hope you tune in, share this conversation, and let's get into it. Don't believe in gender roles. Gender roles are lies, race is a lie, class is a lie, all of it's a lie. The most important thing when it comes to relationships that you need to be mindful of is your attachment style. Your attachment style is the one thing on this planet that determines who you're going to be with and how long you will be with them. It determines your self-esteem. It determines how you operate in relationships. It determines how you operate at work. It determines how you operate, period. And we are going to talk about the anxious avoidant trap today in this week's episode. So let me give you a quick rundown on what it means to be anxious and what it means to be avoidant by telling you a story. We have a person named Jennifer and we have a dude named John. And Jennifer and John have been dating for the last 3 months. John is an avoidant attachment style and Jennifer is an anxious attachment style. And for the next 4 months, they are going to go back and forth trying to determine whether they should be together. There's going to be lots of drama, lots of trauma, lots of ups and downs. And I'm going to break down why you might be Jennifer, why you might be John, and how to get out of it. So, period. Let's start off with John. John, like most avoidant people, which is not gender specific, may have experienced trauma with their mother or father or caregiver figure, their attachment figure. Your attachment figure is the person when you were a child you ran to for self-soothing because as a child you didn't have the capacity to soothe yourself. Human children are incredibly dependent. They're incredibly needy. They're incredibly narcissistic. And they only have two fears: abandonment and being dropped from high heights. And so, when John was a small child, when he reached out to his mother figure, his attachment figure, and she invalidated him, he would cry and she wouldn't respond to those cries. She would ultimately be unresponsive when he did bids. And over time, as a child, John realized that his attachment figure was not reliable and she wasn't consistent. And that is very traumatic for a child. It causes a lot of anxiety and it causes a lot of fear because basically you teach your child that my needs will not go met. And so as a survival mechanism, there's some restructuring that happens in John's brain, and he learns that if he wants to get his needs met consistently enough, he has to learn how to meet them himself. And he stops being reliant on his mother attachment figure, right? He stops being reliant on his mother attachment figure. And he grows up into a young boy, not really depending on people for emotional validation. Because of the trauma wounds of the relationship that he has with his mother or his attachment figure, he now has an avoidant attachment style. So he now looks to himself to be the source of all of his needs. And he looks to other people. He doesn't look to other people for much, right? He kind of just does his own thing. And he doesn't even understand the reason for relationships because in his mind, you are supposed to get yourself out of all of your emotional pain. On the other hand, we have Jennifer. Jennifer is anxiously attached. Now, Jennifer also had a very dismissive and cold mother and father, but they weren't so inconsistent that she couldn't rely on them. So when she grew up, there would be times where maybe her parents would be working and her mom, she would do bids for attention from her mom, and her mom wouldn't be consistent, but maybe her dad would show up and vice versa. And she learned that the more she clung to her attachment figures, the more she felt safe that they wouldn't abandon her. And so she learned a subconscious strategy that whenever she felt a level of anxiety or whenever she felt like she was going to be abandoned, she clinged a little bit more. 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 And so she grew up to be someone who overcompensated a lot in her relationships. Whenever she felt triggered that her loved interest would just leave, she would rush in and try to become a chameleon and do anything and everything it would take in order to make sure that person wouldn't leave and self-abandon in order to remain connected. Jennifer and John meet each other. And this is where I tell you, gender doesn't actually necessarily matter. When we are looking for in our partners is essentially a mirroring of ourselves. Sometimes we feel like we cannot express certain aspects of ourselves. And so the avoidant partner looks to the anxious partner as a way of reclaiming the parts of him that have been lost. He looks at Jennifer and he admires her ability to connect. He might feel frustrated with the fact that she kind of imposes on him often, but he's attracted to her because at the core level, she will always be the one who reaches out to him, and it subconsciously makes him feel safe and secure. In another way, and on the other hand, Jennifer admires John's ability to not self-sacrifice at the expense of others. And in a way, she is what we would say avoidant of her own self. She wants to be avoidant. She wants to be able to maintain her own boundaries. She wants to be able to self-soothe, but she can't. So she connects herself to a partner as a subconscious strategy of learning how to gain that sense of herself that is lost. And so both of these partners need each other because the other represents what the other needs. But then they also fall into this trap. Whenever she gets closer to John to get attention because she's fearful that she's going to be abandoned, John rejects her because he doesn't really like being responsible for other people's feelings because it triggers his own fears that he's going to be emotionally controlled. Right? And in a similar vein, so John rejects her. And she's constantly chasing after John and finds herself chasing after John for validation. And the more she chases, the more it triggers her own feelings of not being lovable. It reminds her of when her mom would turn a cold shoulder. And so she waits around hoping that one day John will just come around and love her. And sometimes she gets fed up and she just walks away. And the moment she walks away, it triggers the abandonment wound in John. And they go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth until ad nauseum, until the anxious partner gets so overwhelmed that John can't take it anymore. And they often break up. An anxious person, when it comes to the avoidant person, says, fuck your boundaries. I need you. I want you. I need you to self-soothe. And so the solution becomes, and this is where I want us to really double down and recognize that the only solution to this is becoming more secure. Being securely attached means that you no longer seek your partner as an anxiously avoidant person to fulfill all of your emotional void. You actually give people the liberty and choice to come to you. And if they don't come to you, you don't feel like that's an invalidation of your worth. You are your source, and you don't require people to be that unconditional love of mom and dad. That trauma has happened. Now, as adults, it's our responsibility to be the parents that we needed by unconditionally loving ourselves and allowing people to come to us and feel free to love us, because love ultimately is a choice. In a similar vein, The avoidant, after being alone for long periods of time, has to learn that he needs to stop avoiding his own feelings and emotional expression. He needs to learn to find connection. He needs to do the work of being vulnerable. He needs to recognize that he can also get his emotional needs met by being connected and finding safety in that. And so in this week's episode, I want you to question if who you are in the relationship. Give you and your partner or whatever the role. You'll find out who you are when you are stressed. Who do you become? Do you become someone who is cold and avoidant and you get into your own circle and you push other people away? Or are you someone who craves attention and craves connection and doesn't care about boundaries and is all over the place? Or are you both when you're under stress? Recognize who you are. Then recognize how that is in relation to others. When it comes to people, when we get so focused on trying to be validated by others, what's really happening is we are abandoning ourselves and asking other people to do the work of loving us and validating us. The power comes in ultimately choosing yourself, choosing to love yourself, and recognizing when people come to you, they are choosing to come to you in love. But we will never, ever try to ask someone to do the work for us. That is something that I want you to know. You are enough, and you tell yourself what your value is, and you aggressively try to find that in yourself and then ask of the world to mirror it back to you. But we do not do the reverse. We do not lack a sense of worth and then seek the outside to fill in what we're missing on the inside and then become addicted to the validation of others. That is codependence. The real solution is, where is it that I need to love on myself? What is it that I'm really asking for? And prioritize that and feel good from that. And then also see that when you establish the relationship to yourself, everything that comes to you just mirrors that already strong relationship you have, right? That's all it is. And when we are avoidant, what we're really doing is avoiding ourselves. We're still avoidant. We're still becoming, we turn blind to our emotional needs. Sometimes in those cases, we really need to learn how to rely on other people and trust that they can mirror back to us the relationship that we have with ourselves. Remember, you are the prize. Remember, you are the prize. Remember, the people who want to be in your life will always choose to be with you. And that's enough. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Unfriendly Black Hottie. Love ya. Bye.